With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
I want you to hear me very clearly. Praise the Lord. When I went to Bible school, I heard Mark 11, 23, 24 every single day of Bible school. And I swore I would never preach Mark 11, 23, 24. Just because I heard it so much, it irritated me. But you know what? I had to repent a couple weeks ago and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to teach Mark 11, 23, and 24. And there's something else that I said that I would never do, because back when I was in Bible school, everybody and their brother's cousin came out with a book that said seven steps on how to get healed. Seven steps, the ABCs of faith. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I said, I'm never going to do that because it seems so, you know, corny. But I'm going to teach you. We started on Wednesday night, and you're going to receive seven steps to receive anything from God. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. He said, it's not for you, it's for them. It helps them remember. Okay. Now, as long as you don't look at the method, but you look at the intent of this, then you and I will be on the same page, okay? Because it's not like you can scratch off, I did A, I did B, I did C, now God's obligated to. No, it doesn't work that way. You always have to be led of the Holy Spirit. But how would you like to know when you pray, God hears? Because Jesus said, if you know it's God's will, then he hears you and he'll give you whatever you ask. Isn't that what the Word of God says? So you want to know what God's will is, and you want to know when you're praying, you're not just filling the air with words. You're literally making a transaction with God. Everybody say communicating. See, a lot of people are, John Maxwell has a book, says a lot of people are talking, but few communicate. And here's the truth, a lot of people are praying, but few are literally communicating with God. See, in this setting, I am doing my best to communicate with you, because I'm pulling on your body language, your eyes, and what I'm being led in the Holy Ghost, you know, to speak to you. So I am trying to make it. Have you ever been somewhere where somebody just talks at you? I call it dispensing information. They're just throwing words out there, and you get bored and you get lulled into, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, I don't want to do that. I want, this should be two-way. That doesn't mean that you should talk back. You should say amen and hallelujah and praise the Lord and say it again, preacher, shake that bush, those kind of things. But I don't necessarily need you to stand up and give me an opinion in this type of setting. But if we were sitting across the table from each other, then if I were just talking at you, that's not communicating. But if you're talking back with me, sharing ideas. Have you ever been in a room with people and watched two people, maybe three, and they appear to be having a conversation, but they're not? They're literally just carrying on three different discussions. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're talking at each other, and the other person just wants to tell. That's not communication. And praying is a two-way street. Now, when we pray, so many times we are asking for revelation of what God's will is. Can you say amen? We're going to be talking about how to receive from God, which takes faith. Everybody say faith. Faith is a belief, it's a conviction, it's a persuasion. But more than that, divine faith is knowing what is God's will. Amen? So I'm going to give you the seven steps, and then we're going to study this morning the Logos, the Word of God. So number one, we went over this Wednesday. If you want to receive from God, first you have to know God's will. Write that down. To know God's will. And underneath knowing God's will, there are two ways that God communicates to you what His will is. First is the written Word of God, the Scripture. And we're going to study that out in detail this morning. You can't know God's will outside of the Scripture. In other words, it has to be the foundation of what you believe. Now, it may not be what everybody sees or what you see that's built atop of the foundation, the revelation or the manifestation of the thing in your life. But if you don't have the sure foundation of God's word underneath, the building that you build will not be stable. It will not stand. Amen. The word of God must be the foundation, but it may not be the manifestation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So there's two types of the word of God. And under know God's will, there's two types. One is the logos, the written word of God. That's the way we're going to discuss that this morning. And the second is the rhema, or God's word for now. And 1 John says that the Holy Ghost, you don't need anybody to teach you anything. It says, because the Holy Ghost teaches you all things. And then John chapter 14, Jesus said that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit was going to come and he would show you things that were going to come. Amen? He's going to reveal to you things that are going to come. Now understand, in the written word of God, everybody say the word of God. In the Bible, the Logos, in the written scripture, it's not going to tell you where you should work. The scripture is not going to tell you who you should marry. The scripture is not even going to tell you where you should go to church. But the Holy Spirit will. See, the foundation is the scripture, and then what comes upon that, that's built upon it, not outside of it, what's built upon it is the rhema, or the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that comes from revelation. And we're just reviewing, giving you the general topic of each subject here that we're going to study out. But remember this, revelation rises, thoughts descend. And what we are endeavoring to do as the body of Christ is learn how to think and act and speak out of our spirit, causing our mind to be in subjection to or governed by the Spirit. Can you say amen? And how do you know that you're doing that? You know that by the written word. So number one is to know the will of God. Number two is to fill your heart with God's will. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about how we do that. Confession without revelation is only discipline. Confession with revelation is faith in action. And so many times I'm talking about filling your heart right now. So many times we're professing what we believe is God's will, but we don't really believe it. Because the Bible says it's with the what that you believe. Come on, somebody. With the heart that you believe. It's not in your head. And so what you're doing is you're renewing your mind, trying to get the revelation to come up out of your spirit. And when your heart is full of it, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're applying discipline out of your confession, please hear me, you're not in the place of faith yet. Oh, that's good. We can just go home right now. But it's necessary to renew your mind. And so just like praying, oh God, please, please, oh God, please, and that's okay. Please show me, please reveal to me. Now once I know the will of God, and then I can get my head in agreement with it, what can I do? I can speak a word of faith. I can pray in faith. Praise the Lord. Number three is to fill your heart with His will. Number three is to prepare. You prepare first with wisdom, and second, naturally. Wisdom is to see something from God's perspective. And then when understanding and knowledge comes into play, you know what to do with that wisdom. And you literally begin to, just like before your baby was born, you didn't. If you ran out that night when she was in labor to get a baby bed, to get a blanket, y'all weren't walking in wisdom. Because you knew the baby was coming. You know, you prepare in advance, right? You prepare some things naturally for God's blessing to come into your life. Amen? Listen, and if you're praying for a husband or you're praying for a wife, if you're not seeing things from God's point of view, or what you need to change to, come on, am I helping somebody? To be the wife that could support a man of God in his vision, or to be the husband that can support a holy woman. Come on. You have to prepare, that's not in seeing it, but you also have to prepare naturally. Number four is you need to sow a seed. Boy, I've heard this all of my life, but I'm really starting to get it. Listen, when you're talking about, everybody say money. Say provision. When God is your provider, okay? If you're in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is in you, then the Lord will provide for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you, right? He'll make sure that you, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall have no want. He prepares. God prepares for you and for me. He prepares provision for you. But we have to receive it by faith. Has anybody seen the TV show Pawn Stars? Yeah. Good show. I mean, not necessarily always the best language, but a good show. They're always, everything they do is about making $5 here, making $10 there. Anybody seen Storage Wars? But you know, these guys will buy a storage locker and then they'll say, okay, I've spent $400 on a storage locker. And then they'll start tearing things out and say, okay, that's worth $10, that's worth $20. And they'll see if they made a little bit of money on each one. Guys, and I understand if you're going to be prosperous in this world that you have to look at the opportunity that's ahead and make a little bit on everything. I didn't say make a bunch. Make a little bit on everything. Well, I had a dream the other night and I saw it. The only thing that produces the way God desires you to produce is seed. You put one kernel of corn in the ground, you don't get one kernel back. You put one kernel, you get three or four ears, and those ears have hundreds of kernels in them. Hundreds. Man, there is nothing that will produce. Labor produces, toil produces, faith produces. Seed time and harvest, it produces. Just think of it naturally, man. If every dollar you had could literally be a seed that you put in the ground and then a bush comes out and you get, even if it's just one season, a money tree, a money bush, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to be planting some. And you need the revelation to do that by faith. Amen. In fact, I got it so strong, I was thinking about converting everything to seed. I'm talking about literal seed. I said, gee, I wonder what kind of a return could I make putting seed in the ground? Especially if God, if he provides seed to the sower and bread for the eater and then blesses your storehouse, whoa, I better get in the farming business. Come on. All right, so you got to sow a seed. Number five, to pray. And when we pray, praying is not complete unless you act as if what you're praying is a reality. So we speak in prayer because there is no such thing as a silent prayer. Everybody say that. There is no such thing as a silent prayer. What is it when we are meditating? Well, I just gave it away. When we're thinking about something, when we're praying, we say, oh, I prayed about that. No, you didn't. You were just meditating on it. Don't you tell me, oh, Pastor, I'm going to pray for you, or I've been thinking about me, but you're not praying. If you're going to pray, you're going to get God's will, and then you're going to speak something into this earth. Remember, first you've got to know the will of God, and then you've got to fill your heart with his will, then you've got to sow a seed, then you pray. I gave this example Wednesday night, and you can get the CD if you don't have it. I remember when I was up in Ankeny, and I'm praying through a third of the city of Ankeny back then, and I didn't even know it, but it was all cornfield. And I'm walking through this gravel road, you know, doing some exercise, and I see cornfields over here, a little bit of city to the south, a lot of city to the north. And I had the revelation, this land is going to be very valuable. And I said to God, I said, this is before, now it's the biggest development in Ankeny. And I was walking through, and then I said, God, listen, you got to know his will. I said, this is worth some money. This is going to be worth some money. I said, can I ask you for it? You know what he said? I have something better for you. I never asked him about it again. Now, was it valuable? Yes. Could I have made a ton of money? Yes. But God has something better. And I believe that better, you're sitting in what's better. Across the street is what's better. Across the street in the flag park is what's better. Come on, across the street over to the filling station, that's better. 55,000 cars a day come by here. I had no way to know that 10 years ago. But when God said, I have something better for you, I didn't have to understand it. I had to accept it. And what did I use to back that up? That those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So you know what I did? I just considered that seed because I had an unction. It was good. I had an unction and a knowing of how I could have got a hold of a piece of that land, if not all of it. Amen. Number six is to receive. And this is where the body of Christ, can I just get non-religious with you? We really suck at this. We really do. We're good at getting in the Word. We're good about, you know, confession, and we're good about sowing seed, but we're really, really bad at receiving, because I don't think we understand what receiving is biblically. Receiving biblically isn't, you know, to open up the package. Receiving is this, is to have an expectation, it's now. You're looking around every corner, every phone call, come on. You're expecting to open a drawer. You're expecting a gift in the mail. You're expecting that document to come that says this is all settled. You know, you're expecting it right now. And then the Bible says we draw on the wells of salvation with what? Come on, joy. And here is the secret of receiving from God. To be content whether you have it in your hands or you don't. Praise the Lord. That went over like a big lead balloon. Let me say it again. The secret of receiving from God is learning how to be content. The Apostle Paul said, whether abasting or abounding, whether he had much or he had little. See, because faith isn't moved by what you have, because what you have naturally, because what you have naturally has nothing to do with what's in your hands. It isn't about what's in my control. It's about me getting in the flow of God. God's not lacking anything. So listen, if you want to receive a healing from God, you want to receive a baby from God, you want to receive salvation from God, you want to receive provision from God, you want to receive protection from God, these seven steps will take you there. Know the will of God, fill your heart with His Word, prepare with wisdom and naturally, sow a seed, pray, receive, and then here's the last thing. Express thankfulness. You transfer the glory and you lead others in praise. Where's the example of this? 10 lepers came to Jesus, asked to be healed. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Well, nothing had happened yet. But yet on their way, they were healed. Now one will be eternally remembered in the hearts of the church, because he came back and fell at Jesus' feet. And the Bible says he was made whole. What's the difference? Well, if I had an open sore on my hand and half of my pinky was gone because I had leprosy, if I were cleansed of the leprosy, then there would be new skin right over here where the open sore was, but I'd still have a nub. But when you come back and you worship Jesus and you transfer the glory, how do you do that? By leading others into praising Him about what He had done, then something else gets released from heaven and you're made whole. I don't know about you. I don't want to go into heaven with half of what God intended for me to have. I want to get up there and I want to hear Him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the little that I set aside for you on, and you tapped into it all. Now take charge of much. And what are you going to do when you get to that point? You're not going to go, oh, good job, Pastor Kenny. You're going to say, praise Jesus. Oh, you were faithful to me. You did exactly what you said you would do. I found it in your word. I found it in my spirit. I let the two come into agreement, and I began to speak and to act as if it were true. And by golly, it came to pass. Not usually in the time frame that I was hoping, but it did come to pass, praise the Lord. Okay, let's go into this first section, which is to know the will of God. And I want you to write this down, please. Remember, we didn't come here to get tickled. We didn't come here to get entertained. We set aside time 2 or 3 times a week to come and to be changed by the anointing that flows through the pastoral gift in this house. Amen? And so when you write this down, I want you to meditate on the things and meditate the scriptures this week. Get into the scriptures and look at them. Praise the Lord. If all we do is come and listen on Sunday, come and listen on Wednesday, come and listen on Friday night or Saturday, you know what? You're going to do better than most. But, you know, you may not ever reach the place where you're whole. Okay? So, here's what I want you to write down. Faith starts where we know, K-N-O-W, the will of God. Knowing the will of God will not produce faith in your life, but it is the starting point. Come on. Because you can believe and not receive. You can even believe in your heart and not receive. Because there has to be something that makes your faith alive or complete. And that is an action, a profession. You know, the world is so tired of people that believe something but don't act like it. The church calls them hypocrites and the world calls them duds. We were blowing off some fireworks, and the night before, blowing off some little bitty fireworks, you know. And every now and then we threw one out there, and the kids would, you know, they do their little scare dance, you know. And then it'd go, woo, no bang. It's a dud. And listen, if you don't have some kind of action that corresponds with what you say you believe, then you're a dud. And I don't think I want to be a dud, do you? I may be a stud, but I don't want to be a dud. Now turn to 2 Corinthians. That was kind of funny. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. How come nobody laughed? There you go. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. We like it when people laugh. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So faith begins where the will of God is known. K-N-O-W. And we're going to talk about knowledge this morning. Now, Wednesday night, we're going to talk about knowing intimately in a way that it can never be stolen from you or taken. But you have to first begin in the higher part of your anatomy. You have to begin by renewing the mind or transforming. We get the word metamorphosis from the Latin word for morph, which means to literally change the structure of. And if you go online today, they have some amazing teachings about how what you think literally, listen, transforms your brain tissue. It doesn't happen quickly, but it happens. Your brain can be different 7 years from today than it was 7 years ago or today. How do you do that? By beginning to think in line with the Word of God. I'm not talking hocus pocus. You go on the Google and you go on every website you can find. TED Talks has some really good things about the transformation of your mind. I don't think the way I did 20 years ago. Thank God. I think so differently from the way I did 20 years ago. I feel like I'm a different person. Imagine that. It seems foreign to me if I revisit some of those thoughts of the way that I used to think in the past. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, well, let's begin in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those whom you've learned it from, and how from infancy you have had the holy scriptures. Everybody say scriptures. When we're talking about logos, I want you to equivalent the word scripture. Hook it up. Hook up the word scripture when I say logos. Scripture means the written word of God, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that a servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, say equipped. Equipped is different than training. Yet you train your mind with the Word of God. If you're going to be thoroughly equipped to hunt deer in bow season, then you need, guess what? A bow. And if you don't have a bow, then you've got to get a bow. Now, along with that bow, you need arrows. If you don't have an arrow, you've got to get some arrows. Come on. And you need some camouflage if you're going to be thoroughly equipped. And if you're going to be thoroughly equipped, you're going to have binoculars, and you're going to have a rangefinder, and you're going to have a deer stand. Come on. You're going to have a deer call. If you're going to be thoroughly equipped, you got to have a camouflage 4x4 truck. Come on. You got to have all the accessories if you're going to be thoroughly equipped. But to be equipped means that you're getting something. I remember in 7th grade when I went out for football, and they sized us up. They sized us up for everything from a protective cup to a protective helmet to shoulder pads, knee pads, shin pads, you know, pants that held the pads in place. We got our equipment. before we did any practicing. When we practiced, we trained. The Word of God equips you. Everybody say equips. It equips you. Where does it equip you? It equips you in your soul, in your mind. And then your mind, well, listen, this is, it'll transform your brain. See, in the anatomy of who you are a spirit, you have a mind, and then you live in a body. And we're supposed to function that way. Out of our spirit, through a mind that's been renewed, we communicate. Everybody say communicate. With the world around us. It's always speaking to us. But a born-again Son of God speaks to it. And it tells it how it should be through prayer and faith. Now, how can you do that if you don't know the will of God? You can't. So our job is to pan out. Have you ever seen those old gold miners? To pan out in this river of life, to pan out the Word of God. I've known, matter of fact, Pastor Nita used to be that way. She'd say these things that were not scripture, but you hear people say all the time. Like, cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that's not scripture. Can it be backed up by scripture? Probably. But you can't quote it as if it were scripture. Come on. Birds of a feather flock together. Is that scripture? No, so don't quote it with the same importance as scripture. Because all scripture is God-breathed. That means it comes out of the heart and the person of who God is, and he lets it go, and he begins the process of communication. What do you mean by that? We'll get into it a little bit later, but God says, my word does not return to me void, but will accomplish the thing that I sent it forth to do. Who returns it? You do. Now we got communication. And then I take God's word and I enforce it on this word. Now, I don't enforce it into the world. I enforce it into my life and into our church and into the dominion and authority that he's given us. I can't tell a neighbor how to live. But now he comes to Christ and he comes to the church. There's some governing authority there that I can begin to speak. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Every scripture is God-breathed. Praise the Lord. Faith begins where the will of God is known. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. If you put that up on the board, I'm sure they would appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. You know, the scripture is so rich. I got to begin in verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son in whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven, and we were with him on the sacred mountain. Verse 19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. Can you say that with me? Completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in the darkness until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. No scripture comes about by somebody's interpretation. Sometimes I'll say, well, Paul said it. No, Paul didn't say it. God said it through Paul. Well, Jesus, not really. God said it through Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God come in the flesh. Come on. And that's okay. We might want to identify the carrier, the person who it was spoken through. But this is Scripture. It's written down. It's God-breathed. It didn't come about by, you know, you can get so intellectual that you just leave God out of the thing. And we have to take, we taught on honor and submission just recently. You have to take the Word of God and you have to honor it. And you submit to it. You come under it. You don't bring it to your level of reasoning. You come under it and you transform your mind according to it. Now, that doesn't mean we're a bunch of brainless idiots. That means that we cause the greater one who is in us and our spirit to rule and reign over or to govern our mind. How do we do that? We do that by the Word of God. That's why it says you should pay attention to it, as if it were the only light that you can see at night, until it becomes so clear it's like the day or dawn. If you've ever been out in the timber or out in camping and it's dark and you don't have a flashlight, it gets really dark. But boy, when that little itty-bitty light comes over the horizon, all of a sudden things come into perspective. And as the light rises, things that you didn't know were there or things that you were guessing may have been something else, suddenly it becomes clear what they really are. And that's the way that we are to attend or draw our attention to, listen, guys, the Scripture. Everybody say Scripture. The written Word of God, so that things in our life become clear without a fuzziness, without a hesitation or a question. You can't do that if you take the Word of God and say, well, yeah, I read that once. Yeah, that is a book that here's a lie from Satan. Listen very carefully. That anointed men or special men wrote. But the Quran's holy too. What Buddha said, that was holy, and that's holy too. No, I'm sorry, it's not. Because if you're going to give it honor, then you take God's word and you do like he did. He put it above his throne. You put his word to the highest place in all creation and intellect. And if you don't agree with his word, how can we be in agreement and walk together and carry out a vision? So we all have to say, as a local church and a universal church, the Word of God is the Word of God. It's God-breathed. It's Scripture. It's holy. It's right. I have to yield to it. It's more important than what President Bush said. It's more important than what President Lincoln said. It's more important than what Martin Luther King said. It's more important than what Gandhi said. It is the most important things that were ever captured in the format of ink and parchment or paper. There's no other words that are this valuable that have that much insight. Praise the Lord. Go to 1 Timothy. No, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. So the first step to receiving from God is to know the will of God. And as Pastor Josh said this morning, God is not withholding his will or his wisdom from you. That he gives it liberally without finding fault. That's in James chapter 1. In other words, you can't say nor convince somebody who's subjected to the Word of God that God's withholding his will from you, that he won't tell you what the answers are, because the answer is as close as his Spirit. And if you're born again, his Spirit is in you. And he'll reveal it to you in the Word as well. He's not going to withhold it from you. You don't have to wrestle like Jacob did with God about this thing. Why? Because the penalty for your sin has been paid. He justified you and he made you right. And so you got to know that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. So you say, God, show me your wisdom. He doesn't have to fight through 26 days like that angel did to get to Daniel. He doesn't have to do that because he lives in you and he will speak to you from where he lives. And the Spirit and the Word will always agree. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper, please listen, than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even into dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered, laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. Now, this is what's really important. I was speaking to somebody this week, and I was sharing with them, man, you got to spend time in the Word. Not just listening, but seeing. You've got to spend time putting your eyes on the Word. There is some characteristics that are, boy, they're really, really notable if you've been in ministry or around Christianity for very long. There are people who love God with all their heart but don't spend time looking at the Word of God, reading the Word of God. And here is what is common among those folks. The dividing line between their soul and their spirit isn't very clear. And so God will say, move left. That's what they'll tell you. And then God will say, I changed my mind, move right. And then they'll say, well, no, God said, no, you were supposed to move south, not north. And do you understand? What's the difference? It's not clearly established in that person's life what is their intellect and what is their spirit. The only thing that can divide between your soul and your spirit is the Word of God. But if you do not honor the Word of God, put your eyes on it, meditate on it, mutter it, think it, transform your mind with it. Transform your what? Your mind. You won't know the difference between what is emotional, come on, and what is God's will. Because we are temporal beings, yet we are eternal. We're eternal in here like God's Word, and that never changes. But guess what? This puppy up here does. It needs attention. It needs something to fix itself on so it doesn't drift too far. The Word of God is an anchor for your soul. Come on. And if you don't honor the Word of God, then you're not going to see it that way. And what does the Bible say about hearing the Word of God? Faith comes by what? Hearing. So no, I'm not saying don't listen to the Word. Obviously, that's what you're doing right now. But guess what the Bible also says? We are forgetful what? Hearers. So let's talk about this process that's known in the duck world. Anybody ever seen Duck Commander? Praise the Lord. Duck Dynasty. Anybody ever study in biology class about imprinting? When a baby duck is born, the first thing that it sees, everybody says sees, it will imprint on as its caretaker. Kind of like some girls in high school. The first boy they see, they imprint them on, and that's their love. Some people are that way. They love that person for life. They get imprinted on. It becomes part of them. So a duck, if it comes out of its shell and it sees a dog, it will immediately imprint. It will put a picture on the inside. It'll say, Mama. But it'll say, why don't I bark? But that's my mama. The first thing that it sees. And God made you much that way in your mind. You will do what you see, come on, more than you will do what you hear. Let me give you an example. When I finally came to the place that I realized the world was bigger than me, my son was about 5 years old, and I remember Vinny came to the house, and he had just bought him a brand new pair of tennis shoes, and he kicked those tennis shoes off without untying them, and he threw them over by the door. And I remember my dad, I can't tell you how many whoopings I got for not untying my shoes and for crushing the back of the shoes by not untying them, putting them on, using them like sandals. Did anybody else's dad do that? Nobody else's dad told you not to untie your shoes before you? Okay, hers did. And so I'm there, you know, I'm walking in grace and I'm walking in love. And I said, Rennie, get over there and untie those shoes. Put them back on, tie them up, untie them, take them off. Because I'm trying to teach him. And then the Lord said, now look at your shoes. And my shoes were sitting right next to him, and they weren't untied either. I did what I saw, not even what I believed. We tend to do what we see more than what we hear. Even what we decide in our heart. That's why we've got to renew our mind. I got to renew that picture in my head that, you know what? It's not going to kill my shoes to flip them off without untying them. And I have to go back and I say, well, that may not have been the best teaching. Because if I don't, it's going to keep popping up. That's why we have to see the Word, because things get imprinted upon us. How many of you have kids? Can I see your hands? How many of you find yourself doing exactly what your mom and dad did and you said you'd never do it? Especially in a fit of frustration or anger. Huh? Well, I'll tell you, that's one of my greatest motivations is not to be like my mother or father in many ways. But I love them and I honor them, but I'm not going to be like them. I'm going to try and be better. I'm going to break that generational curse. But sometimes when I'm hungry and tired and I get frustrated, I'll say, I can't believe I say this. I'll say, now you're not supposed to do that. And then the two sensitive ones will go, well, and I'll go, you wanted me to give you something to cry about? I swore I'd never say that, but I do, because that's what I saw, that's what I experienced, And you will do what you see more than what you hear. God just made you that way. Do what I say, not what I do. That doesn't work. You've got to... Am I helping you? That's why you've got to get in the Word of God and you've got to read it, because it imprints on your head a way different than hearing. But you got to hear and you got to see. Can you say amen? It will help divide for you what is in your head and what is in your heart and what is in your spirit. Now here's what our goal is: to get our heart to be full of what is in the Word and what is in His will, and get our mind in agreement. Praise the Lord. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, one chapter over. You guys with me? We're talking about how to receive from God. You can't receive anything by God's power in your life if you don't know His will. Or let's put it this way: if you're not confident what His will is. And His will is established by His Word. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, isn't acquainted with the Word about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who have, by constant use, trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. All right. You begin to train yourself with the Word of God. The Bible says to cling to what is good and hate what is evil. If you don't stick your nose in the Word of God, we very quickly can distinguish. We won't be able to distinguish between what is good and what is evil, because we'll go by the barometer of our emotions. We'll go by the thermometer of our feelings. And pretty soon, you're right smack in the middle of doing something you know in the Word of God says is wrong, but you've come up with 100 million ways of why we can justify it. What's the difference? Putting your eyes in the Word of God. Well, I listen to Christian radio all day. I listen to the preachers on TBN. Well, praise the Lord. How much time are you spending eating solid food, the Word of God, the bread of heaven, instead of drinking milk through your ear? Now listen, I know there are lots of people in the body of Christ that say, well, I can't read, or I can't retain, or I... Come on now, you can't lie to me that way. Why do you say that? Because God said to put your eyes on the Word. God said to read your Word, so that He will never require of you something He won't empower you to do. Now there's muscles in your eyeballs that you got to train. There is. There's a discipline. If you got to put toothpicks in your eyeballs to read more than 5 minutes, then put toothpicks in your eye to hold your eyelids up. But eventually, as you train yourself, you will be able to receive the Word in that format that God desires you to. It's easier to listen than it is to read. Isn't it? I retain probably more, it seems to me, by listening, because I'm actively listening, than I do from reading. So you know what I do so many times? Now that I used to take my cassette player and my Bible, and I would play the Word of God, and I would read the same translation right along with it. Hours I used to do that. Hours I used to do that. And now you know what I do probably 3 out of 5 times in my devotions? I'll put on Bible Gateway, and I'll pull up the scripture on my iPad, and I'll hit play, and I'll read and I'll listen at the same time, because it's imprinting and it's also getting deep inside of my spirit. Are you hearing me? And if you have trouble reading, try that. It's a good method to try. If you have trouble disciplining, if you find your eyes drifting, come on, tell your eyes what to do. Get back on that page, eyeball. And if your thoughts start to go aside, then say, hey, thoughts, I'm concentrating on the Word of God. There's nothing more important than writing that. Hold on 1 minute, write it down, and come back to the Word. Praise the Lord. That's good stuff. Go to One more scripture here. No, we got more than that, don't we? 1 Peter chapter 2. Did we go there already? No, we did not. 1 Peter chapter 2.
Praise the Lord.
You can receive anything from God if you know it's His will. You can't receive anything by God's power if you don't know it's His will, unless it's by grace and mercy. And God has put a lot more in your life, in your ability to receive, than you could possibly think. So God's word is likened to milk. And in verse 2 it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I don't know about you, but I had a real hard time with spinach and Brussels sprouts. I just didn't like the taste of spinach and Brussels sprouts. And I don't know why, but all of my kids like spinach and Brussels sprouts. But I used to have to put a little something on it to make it more palatable. I used to have to put a little salt and a little olive oil on the Brussels sprouts to make it taste good. I used to have to put a little cheese on the Brussels sprouts to get by that pungent taste. I used to not like a strong cheese. But you know, once you get a taste for it, especially if you know it's good, then you will acquire a desire for it. If you don't think that's true, guys, just start hanging around people that have a motorcycle. Guys, you start hanging around guys that have a motorcycle, you might start developing a desire for it. You start hanging around somebody that flies jets, you might start having a desire to become a pilot. Start hanging around somebody that's jumping out of airplanes, and you might start to desire to jump yourself. Hang around people that are physically fit, you might start to develop the desire. You understand what I'm saying? So you can cultivate the appetite for God's word. It may not, listen, the Bible talks about the word of God going inside of the prophet, and he says, here, take this and eat it. And the prophet took it and ate it, and it tasted sour. But it went down into his stomach, and it became something that transformed him. And when you begin to read the word of God, your body's not going to like that type of discipline. Can I get an amen from somebody? Can I just tell you why I think it's hard to read the word of God, what Satan has set up in your life? When you read the word of God, every part of your body, every part of your spirit, every part of your soul has to be attentive for it to work. See, I can cook, clean, pound nails. I can do a lot of things while I'm hearing the Word of God. Can't you? Maybe that's why we like to hear the Word of God. But if I'm going to read the Word of God, my body has to be in one position. My eyes have to be submitted to that. My mind has to be submitted to it. My spirit has to be submitted to it for me to get any. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why reading the word is difficult. Now, why is it you can sit down and watch TV, but it's hard to read the word? Well, why? Because it doesn't require discipline. It just does everything for you. Why? Come on. Praise the Lord. Why is it that you can read a comic book or even a novel and sit down and do that for hours, but you have problems reading the word of God? Because there's something Satan has set up to get you to disdain it. So I don't want to be lackadaisical about this part of my worship and feeding my soul, transforming my soul, feeding my spirit. I want to do this purposefully. Pastor Nijan and I have a major difference. One major contention that I don't know will ever go away. Pastor Nijan, she's just not conforming, but I think she will. She tends to like guys. She was pretty much an only child until Johnny came around when she was 14 years old, okay? So she was an only child. Her mom worked all the time, left her alone. She did everything by her own time frame. So Pastor Nijan eats when she's hungry. Now, I was raised in a home. We had 3 square meals a day. And so that means that you have to think ahead and prepare. And probably every single day of my life, I have to walk in love because, you know, we say we're going to eat between 6 and 6:30. if Passionate is hungry is the way it works. But Passionate's hunger does not think ahead and, you know, get into the grocery store or put in the refrigerator what she's going to cook for the week. She'll look and say, well, all we have is this. And she'll throw it together. I do not like microwave green beans. I do not like microwave corn. I do not like microwave peas. Come on. If you're going to have a can of peas, at least get out a saucepan, put a little butter or olive oil in it for me, and cook it so it doesn't taste like it came out of a can. I mean, that's just me, all right? Am I telling you too much? But she, you understand, she cooks as she feels. If Pashanija feels like she's had too much salt, then nobody gets salt. If she feels like she shouldn't have butter, then we don't even have it in the refrigerator. Come on. So, you know, that part of her, she doesn't plan ahead. Because if you're going to prepare a meal, there's a word, prepare. You have to think about it before you do it. You set aside a time, and there's planning involved. And thank God, guess what's in the oven over there right now? Turkey. Praise the Lord. 15 years, and she's... I mean, seriously, we had to buy Sunday dinner for, I don't know, a long time. Because, well, we get home, and she was too hungry. And then when Pashanija gets hungry, she gets spacey. And when she gets spacey, she gets weird and grumpy. And so I say, here, eat this, and then I have to make something. Otherwise, everybody gets hungry. And so finally, praise God, there's a turkey in the oven. But I could tell you there's probably nothing decided of what's vegetables or stuffing or sides yet. But that'll come. It's a process. Now, if you're going to feed your spirit the bread of heaven, the Word of God, do you understand you've got to prepare? Now, seriously, it wouldn't be a bad idea to at least one time a day or three times a day. This is the time that I'm going to do it. I am going to, because if you think that automatically the Spirit's just going to lead you into a time to feed you the Word, the day's going to go by and you're going to get in bed and the Spirit's going to say, hey, remember you asked me to tell you when to read? Now'd be a good time. You go, I'm too tired. You literally have to prepare the Word. You might have to prepare the Bible. You might have to prepare the app. You might have to get ahead and plan, okay, I'm not going to just read Old Testament stuff and get legalistic and weird. I'm going to read the whole Word, and I'm going to focus on the New Testament. I'm going to focus on the epistles, but I am going to plan that I'm going to read the whole Word every single year, and this is my plan, and then I'm going to read the Romans through Jude every single month. Because it's a meal plan. And you will be what you eat. You can't eat the Word of God through your ear. I don't know why God did this, but He made it so you eat it through your eyes. Everybody say amen. Well, I don't like to read. Well, neither do I. But that's what God said to do. So do it. Otherwise, you're going to be squirrely and you're going to think God's will is changing all the time, and it does not. Go to Hebrews chapter 2 again. No, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Can we go there? Are you guys okay? Remember, we didn't come here to get entertained. I'm sure you can turn on somebody at home and get entertained. We came here to be changed. And we're submitting ourselves to the anointing that's in the house to bring about some of that change in our life. Oh, praise the Lord. I love Jesus. He's pretty cool. Verse 20 says, by knowledge the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion, for they will be a life to you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will be able to go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. What does he say? He says, don't let them out of your sight. Now go one chapter over to Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my word. So there's the listening. Do not let them out of your sight. That's the hearing. And do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all one's whole body. If you're going to keep the Word of God in your heart, you need to hear it Subject yourself to the anointed, the anointing that's coming through a pastor, an apostle, a teacher, a prophet, or an evangelist. Let that anointed now word come through your ears, but you also have to keep it in your sight. You know, in Deuteronomy, the Word of God says, write the commandments or the scripture upon the what of your door? Upon the doorpost, on the mantle of your door, on the piece that goes above it. Now, it doesn't mean that writing the scripture creates some kind of magical potion. The reason he says to write on it and to write it above your doorpost, to keep it in your eyes, is so that you, help me out, starts with the E or R, goes E, A, D, so that you do what with it? You read it. You can have scripture on your bumper sticker, but if you don't go around and read it every now and then, it's not doing you any good. You can have scripture hanging from the little reflector mirror in your car, but if you don't read it, if you don't eat of it, it's not going to do you any good. You're saying God's not a God of magic. Putting a scripture that says, God bless his house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you put that up right on your doormat, it don't do you any good unless you read it. It may be a testimony to somebody else, but if it's going to do you any good, you got to read it. Are you getting it? The Bible, in the Old Testament, they had to put the scripture, they had to wear it. They carried, now I'm not advocating tattooing, but you know, they had to wear it so that they would read it. And they forgot about it, and then they just wore it, and then they became religious, and they became dead on the inside. And Jesus called them whitewashed tombs, a brood of vipers. And here they had the scripture on them. They had a box on their head. They had scripture on their hands. Come on, they had scripture on their doorpost. But they didn't attend to it. They didn't consume it. They didn't put their eyes to it with some type of effort to try to understand it. And what happened? They missed Jesus. So it's not having a house that has scripture on every wall that's going to allow you to tap into the wells of salvation. But reading the word, attempting to bring understanding into your own life, it'll help you divide between your spirit and your soul. All right, three more scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 11. You guys act like you're almost tired. Are you? The word of God will bring strength to you. Now, I'm going to read the scriptures back to you so you can write them down and study them out throughout the week. Because we're bringing this to you to bring change, and that transforming of your mind will happen as you study as well. Verse 18. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days of your the days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. As many as the days are in heaven and as high as the heavens are above the earth. So remember, it's not just writing them that causes it, it's reading them. And when you read, what does it do? It imprints in, it transforms inside of here in your intellect. And then when you're reading it, now what should happen? Revelation should rise up out of your spirit, and that testifying spirit agrees. This is true. This is right. Now, I don't understand it all, but I've got two witnesses. I've got the witness inside of me, and I've got the witness of the Word. Now, nothing should be established without two or three witnesses, the Word of God says. I've got two right here. I've got it in writing, and I've got it in here. And the more I put my eyes upon the Word, the more I discern what's coming up out of my spirit. Praise the Lord. I might have jumped too far for you, so let's give you the reward of this. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Everybody say, read. It's good to hear the Word of God. And don't ever belittle that. But it's good to put your eyes on the Word. Well, I don't know how to read. Well, then get it in recording and get it in and just start training. Smith Wigglesworth didn't know how to read. The only book he ever read was the Bible. Polly, his wife, taught him how to, and he did mighty miracles. Traveled the nations of the world. How did he just read the word? Matter of fact, he called the newspaper the devil's rag. He wouldn't even look at it. I don't know about all that, but I know I'm going to put this word higher than anything else that I hear or I read or I see. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the word of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart that what is written, because the time is near. Blessed means that you're empowered. Empowered by God to prosper. Empowered by God to walk in health. Empowered by God to be healthy. And if you read the Word of God, this is specifically talking about the prophecy in the book of Revelations, but you can apply it to the whole Word. As you read the Word of God, you are accessing the blessing of God. I'm not talking about reading it while you're doing six other things. Come on. I'm talking about reading the Word of God, setting a time aside, just like you should for your family, for a meal. You set aside the time to feed your spirit. I'll tell you how I learned this. And I think this is a good example. And we try to do this in our home. We read the Word of God with our children. Now, we don't read the King James with our children. We read the New International Reader's Version. When I was a child, I read the Living Bible. Come on. And there's a lot of, you know, you shouldn't even try and make, I don't think you should try and take those that are five and below and try and make them read the New International Reader's Version. That's at a third grade level. But you should use pictures. And teach them and show them God is love. And they may not know exactly what it is, but they're getting something imprinted on the inside, just the way God designed it to be. And your kids, I don't know if you know this or not, they're not going to have that diet of the Word throughout the week if you don't sit down with them and read it with them and to them. But hold on, you're probably not going to do that if you don't do it for yourselves. So women who are single, if you don't know how to get in the Word of God by yourself, then, you know, you may not be accessing the power of God to draw a spouse to you who's going to give you babies because you're not even feeding yourself spiritually. Praise the Lord. All right. When I learned it, I was in fifth, sixth grade. Every night after supper, I wanted to go out and play. We had to read the Word with my mom. Every night, we'd read two or three chapters. And well, here's the way we did it. She would read five verses. My brother would read five verses. My sister would read five verses. I would read five verses. And we went over and over and over until we got two or three chapters done. Now, Vinny, my oldest, he was having trouble. They were talking about putting him in remedial reading classes. And I, bless God, I said, no way, not going to do that. I said, Vinny, we're going to read the Word of God. So I got him a devotional and myself a devotional. Had about a paragraph that you read. And then it had the scripture to take you through the whole Bible in a year. And Vinny and I did that. We did it over the phone for a year. Guess what happened within a year? He went from a second grade reading level to a seventh grade reading level. I wasn't going to put him in a class. This is me. I wasn't going to put him in a class to say you're slower than the rest. Not until I access the anointing that's in the Word of God. It's living. It's sharp. It's active. It's alive. And if God wants me to read the Word of God, then He's going to give me the ability to do it. We tapped into it for Vinny. How did I know how to do that? Because that's what my mama did with us. And I hated almost every moment of it. But you know what happened when we were reading that Word of God in the Living Bible? Revelation was deposited inside of me, and you guys are still getting some of that revelation. I am too. Raise up a child, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Guys, if you fed your kids twice a week, two meals a week, human services would come and take them away from you. The food and the bread of heaven, the food that God intended their spirits to have and for their souls to be nourished by, is the written Word of God. You want your children to be blessed and to live in this land of salvation like you are, then you better get them into the diet of God's Word. Well, that's going to cost some money. Yeah, you know what I had to do? I had to buy eight. I bought four, because no, there's nine of them. I bought four brown NIV Reader's Versions, and I bought four pink ones. No, five pink ones. And we've got them sitting on a shelf. And listen, we know we can do it with our Kindles, but for some reason, when it comes with the kids, I want to get in the Word. I want to get a feel of the paper, the feel of, I don't know if that's religious or not, but that's the way we do it. We get into it. Don't buy them little bitty print. You can't even read the little bitty print. Get them big print, giant print. Spend some money on it. Well, you spend money on groceries every week, don't you? Can I ask you guys to just think about this? Please don't respond. If you have the same Bible in your hand that you had 10 years ago, get over it. Get a new one so you can mark it up. Well, no, it's not. It just got a lot of memories. How many, are you wearing the same clothes you did 10, some people are. Are you wearing the same clothes? You don't wear the same clothes. I don't. I outgrew them. I had 10 years ago. I don't drive the same, I don't drive the same car I did 10 years ago. Come on. I'm not eating the same hamburger I bought at McDonald's 10 years ago. What does the Bible say? Where your treasure is, what will also be there? Your heart, where your heart is, your treasure will be. When's the last time you bought a Bible? Do you get frustrated with your Bible because the pages keep falling out? Well, go buy a new one. Come on. Did the four-year-old get in there and rip a couple pages out? Well, go buy a new one. Are you having trouble with the little print? Go get a giant print one. That's all right. Go get one. If you're going to join a gym, I know you're not going to the gym unless you buy a new pair of tennis shoes, get a new pair of shorts. You want to look good, right? Well, come on. Let me see your... I'm not going to look. Let me see your Bible. You look at your Bible. How long have you had it? If you're 20 years old and you still got the Bible you were given by your grandma when you were in third grade and you got colors, come on, get a new Bible. I can tell where you can tell where your heart is because your treasure will be there also. Now, I have... If you've ever been in my office and you've been in my home, I have 30 or 40 Bibles. I have, every time a new translation comes out, I want to get a hold of it. I want to read it. I want to study it. Now, I like it here because I've got all 20 or 30 translations right here. I like it that way. But I still have my solid ones, you know. I had one Bible recovered 3 times. Cost more to recover that Bible than it did to buy a new one. Well, why? Because it was important to me. I treasured it. I treasured the Word. Am I helping you understand something? Well, I got my pocket Gideons that I got out of the hotel room back in 1979. Well, praise the Lord. Why don't you get yourself a decent one? Now, God can speak through the pocket Gideons, but if you really love the Lord and you really want to know about Him, then go out and get yourself a new Bible. Zondervans would just love this message, wouldn't they? Turn to James chapter 1, and this will be the very last scripture. 7 steps to receive anything from God. It begins with knowing the will of God. And you cannot know the will of God without knowing His Word. Let me rephrase that. Let me bring that into subjection to what the Holy Spirit is saying. You cannot know the will of God with complete confidence unless you know the Word of God. Does that make sense? James chapter 1. Now, how many of you are going to come back next week? Can I see your hand? Praise the Lord. That's good to know. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at it goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently and looks, everybody say looks, going to take your eyes. Now, I know you got eyes in your spirit, but that's not what we're talking about here. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, what? Looking at it. Not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. Now they will be blessed in all they do. Okay. I'm going to say this last thing to provoke God's truth in your heart. If you're born of God, you should hear from God. As a matter of fact, the minute that you bowed your knee and bowed your knees and you received Jesus as your Lord, he began speaking to you in your spirit. That does not mark spiritual maturity. Doing God's word when you don't hear God marks spiritual maturity. Being led is how we're revealed. But do you understand that God's Spirit led the apostles and the prophets as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost to write the scripture? So this thing is not changeable. The way that we hear God, listen, that's got to come up through your head. That we can have the wisdom of God, but we don't have understanding until it comes up into our head. And we can put it into words, or we can do it. Do you understand? Are you understanding is what this lady was listening to not too long ago. Are you understanding? Until you have understanding, it's just revelation. You get the understanding and you have confidence when you cause your mind to be anchored to the Word. You don't have to ask God a lot of questions if you know how He thinks. Let me say that over here. You don't have to ask God a lot of questions if you know how He thinks. I don't have to ask my wife a lot of questions about what to eat or where to go or, you know, those kind of things, because I know how she thinks. Now, I can't read her mind, and neither can you. But God's mind is in you. The mind of Christ is in you. Come on. You don't have to ask Him a lot of questions if you know how He thinks. How does He think? He revealed it to us in His Word. Now, listen, we started today, and I didn't intend to start that way, and we read the scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that talks about the sins that will cause somebody not to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, in today's world, you get to listen to today's world, those sins aren't so important anymore, and everybody's God's child. I'm sorry, you're not. If Jesus isn't your Lord, you're not God's child. And if you continue to act in a way contrary to the Word, then you're saying, I'm an illegitimate child, or I don't come under subjection of my daddy. And so we have to bring ourselves back to the Word to anchor ourselves, because I'm telling you, if we don't have an anchor, our Christianity can become very fluid. It can change, and it can flow. And God said, I'm the Lord God, I change not. Does that mean that He hates those who practice sin? Absolutely not. He loves people, and He's trying to draw them. He's patient. He's trying to draw them to salvation. How can anybody be drawn to salvation, to a church who's constantly changing the Word of God? You can't. Can I? No, I better not. The leaders in the church have got to have an appetite and a desire for the Word of God. And your appetite and your desire won't go beyond the leadership of the church that you're in. And if you don't have an appetite or a desire for the Word of God, pretty soon you'll start changing the rules of God. You have to train yourself to know what's right and what's wrong. How do I do that? Exercising, reading the Word. So what is acceptable and what's not acceptable? That's up to you and God. But I'm going to tell you what. Even the United States government has what's acceptable regarding how much protein and how much vegetables and how much carbohydrates you should get. There's a standard, right? There's a standard by what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. It's kind of a known thing. You get in the Bible, you get in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what I think is not what God's telling you, is an acceptable standard. And I'll tell you why I think this. I think an acceptable standard for a meal, for example, Pastor Nija again was raised kind of by herself, you know. So for her, it used to be Twizzlers and a Diet Coke was a meal. But, you know, I used to bodybuild, so, you know, I had to have 30 grams of protein 5 times a day. That's what I used to do. Well, I don't do that anymore. I'd have 30 grams of cheese. No, praise the Lord. But I have to have a vegetable. My dad used to say a starch. That would be a carbohydrate like potatoes or rice or something like that. And I have to have meat. I have to have some protein. Now, don't give me a meal without any meat because I'm not going to be satisfied. Don't give me a meal without... Because I just know I've got to have these three things. That's just me. And if I don't have those three things, it feels like I'm subpar. It doesn't feel right. And so for me, a meal is 3 to 5 chapters at a setting. Now, why do you say that? Well, I say that because most of the epistles, those are the Jude, all the way back to Romans, they're written to the church. And the majority of them are 5 chapters, 6 chapters. God chose to write these letters to the church in that format. Now, if I just read one chapter, guess what I get? I get, hello, how's the church doing? Greet this person, greet that person, you know, and then I just start getting into what God intended. Even though I can learn from the hellos and how you're doing in the exhortations. For the 5th day, I read the last chapter. Then half the chapter is, you know, goodbye and say hello to Cleo and, you know, those kind of things. Greet the church that meets in this house, those kind of things. And that's wonderful. But the meat's there. It's all together. God chose to write it. He made the decision to have it recorded that way. That's why I feel that way. So when I sit down for a meal, this is what I do. I'm not saying you should. For example, the book of Galatians, that's one meal. The book of Philippians, that's one meal. Now, Philemon, that's like an appetizer. The book of Jude, that's like an appetizer. Hebrews, now that's 3 meals. Why? Because there's a bunch of chapters in there. 1 Corinthians, that's 2 meals. The book of Acts, that's like a week worth of meals. What are you saying? About 15, 20 minutes, I sit down. And then I pray in the Holy Ghost over the word that I read so that I could have revelation and become understanding to me. I'm not saying that's what God's going to require of you. That's what God kind of requires of me. And the reasoning I have for that, I stated. Now, if you start in the book of Genesis, oh, guys, don't do that. If you've never been a reader in the Word of God, start in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Read 3 to 5 chapters. And then pick up where you left off the next day. And then pick up where you left off the next day. And just go all the way through to Jude. But if you start in Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, oh, you're going to get legalistic and bored. I have an appetite for it now. I didn't in the past. I'm praying that God gives you an appetite and you develop the desire for the Word because it's going to bring about stability in your life. It's going to produce faith in your life, and it'll produce the kind of prayers that God will answer, respond to, and say yes and amen. Let's pray, guys. We thank you for this word. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we speak today that you bring blessing to the word in our lives, revelation and wisdom. But Lord, here's my prayer this morning. For that those that hear this message that you implant, that you impart, that you give them, equip them with a supernatural desire to read your word. Father, I don't want to see people tossed to and fro with belief and unbelief, confidence and then doubt, having prophecy work in their life. And one minute, the next minute, declaring things that have nothing to do with your will. Lord, I want to see your people perfected by your word. And I speak that into the lives of those that hear this message this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lord, let our desire be for your word. To clarify the voice of your Spirit, to renew within us hopes, dreams, the good things that you have for us, in store for us, be revealed by your word to us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.